Welcome to Spook Pod. This is Courtney.
And this is Emily.
Setup going good. I'm out of sorts.
I think it's gonna be like that for like until you have the baby, and probably 6 months after you have the baby until you like find your feet. Like it's gonna be chaos for a while.
Everyone just needs to accept that about me.
Give us a little bit of grace here.
All right, welcome everyone to Spook Pod. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, if it's your first time here.
And if it's your first time here, like, why? What has taken you so long?
Clearly, we're a very popular podcast that everyone knows about.
I think we're popular enough. I mean, like, I'll always take more, but I'm very pleased with how many of you guys actually seem to like our rambling. So,
especially the fact that we put zero effort into doing anything to tell anybody about this show.
Yeah, there is, we do not promote at all, and the fact that any of you have found us is just excellent. So
we
thank
have
you.
An Instagram that has like what, 5 followers, and we never post on there. So all right, well, we are still in spooky season in our hearts, even though October has come and gone now. But we were supposed to do a spooky episode near Halloween, but then we changed it because the spookiest shit happened when Euron the Moron confessed. That was also spooky.
And worth it. Like, worth it to bump some stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So we are doing our second episode that was supposed to be in October now. So it's another kind of, like, legend myth that we got going on for you today. So yeah, it's just a fun episode. It's about a ghost ship, a cursed captain, and one of Amsterdam's oldest buildings and bars. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yes.
So way back in the year 1452, a lot of Amsterdam's buildings were destroyed by a really big fire that happened. And this was because the majority of the buildings in the city at the time were just completely made of wood.
Which I think you will find is common in fires in history that, like, really decimated. It's because a lot of the buildings were just, like, we weren't great with stonework.
It was
we
one just, big fireplace.
Yeah, we just really went hard on the wood for a long time. Humans did. Yep.
Yeah. So when it was being rebuilt, they were more prudent and they were like, okay, we should probably rebuild with something like brick, something that's better against fire. But there were 2 buildings, literally just 2, which is funny. But there
it's
were
also
two...
like, wow.
Yeah. Two in a whole city. I mean, I'm sure the city wasn't as big as it is now, but there were 2 buildings that survived this fire. So there's 2 wooden buildings that still exist in Amsterdam today. I don't know what the other one is, but one of them is the focus of our story. It was an inn and a bar located on the corner of the old Zeedijk near the Red Light District. It's super close to Central train station, like a 5-minute walk from there. And it's called In Het Apen. Wait, let me say that right. And it's called In Het Apen. Oh no, I said it wrong again. God damn it. And it's called In Het Apen. No, I did it again. Oh, god dang it.
It's okay. I'm with you until you get this.
Erwin taught me how to say it today and I just can't do it. I either say it like one way wrong or a different way wrong. Okay. It is called In Het Apen. There, that's as close as I'm gonna get, I think. It's actually Old Dutch, and it translates to In the Monkeys. So, it's a bar. a bar like,
and what,
In the Monkeys.
What a strange name, even back then.
Yeah, there's a reason for it, which I'm going to get into.
Sure, sure.
But it is, it's a weird name. So it still looks exactly as it did back in the day. Like, it's just a plain wooden storefront, basically.
I will say we did see it. It's very nice. Like, yeah. It's a very nice building. It's just, it is just a storefront, though.
Yeah, I've been in it before. Emily and I couldn't go into it because it wasn't open at that point.
I mean, it was, but it wasn't, and that was super frustrating. Courtney tried to climb over a chair to get in there anyway, but
it was pregnant. Like, Courtney tried to. They were having like a private party or something, or like, well, technically it didn't open until 2, and we were there at 12, and we saw that like the door was open, but there were people in there, but you couldn't just go in. But anyways, it's just like a little bar still to this day, and it provides, or back in the day, it provided ales, jenever, which is Dutch gin, food, and lodgings, and it's been open since 1519, so that's pretty dang old. It's one of Amsterdam's oldest bars. Its name in the monkeys, this refers to a time in the golden age of the Dutch Empire when sailors returning from distant places like Indonesia, they were short on cash. Sometimes if their boat was docked for a really long time, they would run out of money completely. So they would offer up their newly acquired pets as payment. And so they would literally like pay their bills for beer with their pet monkey. They'd give the monkey to the bar owner. And so this bar back in the day, like, it had cages all throughout it with just monkeys in it to entertain customers. And yeah, this is super sad today. Like, I do not think those monkeys were probably taken very good care of.
The worst part for me is like the dudes who are like, look, my new best friend. And then, but I could really use a beer. So yeah. Here you go.
Here you go, monkey. Live in this bar now.
Man, I hope those monkeys ate a few people's faces. Like, I'm just saying.
So soon, the bar was overrun with so many monkeys that the customers began to complain about all the fleas. Like, obviously, you know, if you're like hanging out in a bar drinking, or if you're sleeping there at the inn, you don't really want to be overrun with fleas. And there's actually this like sparked a saying that people still say in Dutch today, which is in de app. Gelogerd zijn, which means you've stayed in the monkey, like literally, but now it's a phrase that people use like if you find yourself in a really annoying position. So the monkeys had to go eventually, and they were given to a regular customer at the tavern. His name was Gerard Westerman, and he kept all these monkeys in his very large garden. And fun fact, this garden would eventually become one of Europe's oldest zoos, the Artists' Zoo. And we talked about this zoo a tiny bit in one of our episodes on Anne Frank, because there were many Jewish people that hid in this zoo during World War II. So it's a lot bigger today, but this is how it got its start, was this
just
man.
Just a dude with a garden and some monkeys.
Yeah.
God, I wish things were that simple today, you know? I started a zoo in my garden because a lot of my friends just gave me monkeys.
There was this bar. They had monkeys. They didn't know what to do with them. They were covered in fleas. I put them in my garden.
I've acquired a lot of monkeys.
So, Inhet Apien still exists today. Like, you can still have a drink there. You can still eat some food there. As I said, I've been there before. I think I had a beer and castingles when I went. If you know what castingles are, I love them. I don't think you tried castingles, Emily, when you came. I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, oh my god, that was a failing.
There was also, you tried to get me to have some dough balls.
Oh, olie bollen.
Yeah. But I was definitely not hungry at the time. Because we just feasted for like an hour and a half. And then you were like, let's go eat more. And I was like, I cannot.
Yeah, those are like a New Year's thing, but they always open the stand around October, like way too early, but I'm okay with that. But yeah, Emily and I didn't get to go to this bar, as we said. We just like peeked at it. I peeked my head in. But it's a really old, they call it like a brown bar in Dutch, like, which is what they mean when like, you know, if you think of like one of those old timey bars, like back in the old movies and stuff, they have like brown stools with like red velvet and brown leather on the bar and stuff. Like it's just like an old timey looking bar. But it's a super cool spot to have a drink in Amsterdam. So I recommend going if you get the chance. And today now they have like monkey decorations everywhere, like carved statues, they have posters, oil portraits. But you cannot pay your tab in monkeys any longer. And it's also not an inn anymore. Like the top two floors of the bar are now owned by another building. Well, technically it is still an inn because the other building uses it as an inn, but it's not owned by the bar anymore. So that now there's like a random stairway in this bar that leads nowhere. So way back in the day, during the Dutch Golden Age, this was when the Dutch East India Trading Company was alive and well, basically the most formidable company in the entire world at this point. So this bar was basically like a hub for sailors. This is where sailors always came since it was really close to the docks in Amsterdam. They would, while they're waiting for their ships to like unload, reload, be repaired, whatever, they had time to kill by drinking. So they would just eat, sleep, hang out at this inn and many other.
I mean, I'm sure they did a little bit more than that too, you know? Yeah.
Caused some, got a little rowdy, I bet.
Found some fun in the red light district.
And now it's at this point in the story that we're going to venture into a little bit of legend. So we're no longer working in the realm of fact here. So apparently one customer at this tavern back in the Golden Age was a captain named Willem van der Decken. And you have probably not heard this name before, but I'm sure you have heard of his ship. So he was the captain of the Flying Dutchman, if either of these two things existed, because there's actually no verified record that both the captain existed or that this was a real ship, even though it's very famous. So the captain, van der Decken, he became known first from a 19th century novel called The Ghost Ship, The Flying Dutchman, by an English writer, Frederick Marriott. And according to historians, van der Decken is based on a man who was real, who was named Bernard Fokke, which it's a great name.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Frisian, actually. I put in brackets here, my husband is Frisian.
That's her favorite brag.
I need to say that whenever something Frisian is mentioned. My husband is Frisian. But yeah, so Bernard Fokke was a Dutch East India Trading Company captain. And he was known to be a tyrant. He was really pushy. And he pushed his crew, like, to the limit to sail to a destination and try and take, like, the least amount of time getting there. So it was in 1678, he covered the distance from the Netherlands to Java in 3 months and 4 days, apparently. And apparently this was the quickest. There was later a statue depicting him in his Frisian clothes, which I don't know what Frisian clothes are. and I didn't ask my husband.
Just clogs.
Just clogs. But yeah, so a statue is put up of him on an Indonesian island, but it was later destroyed by the English in 1808. Vanderdecken was kind of based on him because this Bernard guy's, like, his rapid travels fueled speculation that he was being helped by the devil to be able to go this fast. And apparently the devil was actually his large black poodle that he always brought on board with him on the ship. And there's no verified record of this, but it's also thought that Bernard Focke also never returned from his last voyage. So historians kind of say that that's where this Captain Vanderdecken, if he wasn't a real person, that this is where he came from. And now when it comes to the ship, so obviously, like, the Flying Dutchman, I think everyone has heard that name before.
If you haven't seen a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, then who are you?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, it is spoken about in various things, various fictional works from the Pirates of the Caribbean. Even Edgar Allan Poe wrote a poem about the Flying Dutchman. So
he also wrote a poem about a heart and a floor, though. So, I mean, like, do we trust?
And a raven.
Mm-hmm. Nevermore.
I used to have that poem memorized, the whole thing.
I did, like, too, because I had to perform it for something.
Oh my god, me too. I had to perform it for, like, a school project.
I think mine was, we used to do, this is going to sound so lame. My town used to do a musical arts festival. That's and, like, name. Oh no, it was. Because I was in it, like, every year. And so you used to, like, you could memorize a poem or you could sing a song or, like, whatever. And then they would give you, like, certificates and, like, gold, silver, like, whatever. I was in a choir. And I used to enter with the choir and we would score pretty highly because we were good. And, yeah, I think it was for that because we used to, like, prepare them in school. And it was, like, part of your grade that you, like, entered into the arts festival. And then, depending on, like, how well you did in the festival, was, like, your grade was kind of based on. So I feel like it was that.
Interesting. So the legend of the Flying Dutchman is that the ship has been doomed to sail the oceans forever, and it can't make port. And the captain and his crew are immortal. There are some different stories as to how this happened to them in the first place, but they kind of all lead back to the captain. So in one account, the captain was playing dice with the devil in exchange for his soul, and he lost. And this is actually part of a famous poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, written by Samuel Taylor Coleridge in 1798. Another story is that Captain Vanderdecken was sailing, headed toward, it's called the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa. And this was as a respite from rough waters. And as the vessel started to round the cape, a terrible storm hit, putting the ship in a lot of danger. And sailors began arguing with the captain to turn around, to go back to safety. And he refused, and he ordered his crew to just go ahead. And apparently he uttered the words saying, like, they would sail if they had to sail until doomsday. And then this statement that he said angered the gods, who punished him by trapping his soul on the ship for all eternity. So he literally had to sail until doomsday. In other versions of the story, it was the devil who overheard him and condemned him to sail forever in his boat. But the devil actually gave him a way out of it, where he could redeem himself through the love of a faithful woman. So in this story, every 7 years, the captain is allowed to come to land to search for a true love, where he can find salvation. another story kind of takes like the devil and gods out of it, and it just suggests that there was a fight between the captain and like a rebel group on the boat who disagreed with his orders, which eventually ended in the murder of the rebel leader, and they threw him overboard. And as his body hit the water, the vessel spoke to the captain about his decision to press on. And the captain replied that he would be reaching his destination until the day of judgment. So there's still this like theme going on of like going until doomsday or the day of judgment.
Like he wanted to sail forever and that's what he got.
Yeah. and in a final version, the captain is actually the one who was apparently the devil, and it was his pride that led to the ship being mercilessly tossed into the sea and can never turn back. And there's actually been like a lot of sightings reported of people seeing the Flying Dutchman. The last one was in World War II, though. So the first sighting appeared in John MacDonald's work, Travels in Various Parts of Europe, Asia, and Africa, during a series of 30 years and upwards. And he released this in 1790. In this writing, he talked about seeing the ghost ship, and then from then on, sailors used to record their own sightings of this ship in their logbooks and personal diaries. And all sightings have happened when the weather was extremely stormy and the waves were like really big. So according to the stories, the ghost ship comes across as being caught in a storm and almost on the verge with colliding with rocks before just completely vanishing. Apparently it has red sails, and it's basically just thought to be a harbinger of death and impending doom for vessels that have sighted it.
Like the Grimm in Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly. One ship that has that apparently saw it was one that you would kind of like believe a little bit, I guess, because so it was the HMS Bacchante, which is a British Royal Naval vessel, and they saw it in 1881. And it was the future King George V who was serving as part of the crew on the ship, and Prince Albert Victor. They both claimed to have seen the ghost ship near Australia somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning. In another story, another British vessel was like traveling in the water, and then all of a sudden the ghost ship appeared out of nowhere and they were literally like about to collide head on with each other, but then it just vanished suddenly. That was in 1835. And then it was also seen in 1939 when a group of people near Table Bay in Cape Town, they saw it near the shore under full sail before it disappeared as well. And then, as I mentioned, the most recent sighting was during World War II. So according to reports, a German submarine boat under the command of a Nazi named Admiral Karl Dönitz, he sighted the Flying Dutchman during their voyage through the east of, what is that place called?
Suez?
Yeah. So tons of sightings throughout the years.
Do we really believe the Nazi, though?
Well, I was thinking, like, the fact that, because this seems to be like a legend, even though it's a Dutch ship, like a lot of the legends seem to come from England, and it's a lot of like England seeing this ship. So if it was also seen by Germans, then, you know, maybe it's a lot of different people seeing this. But
the Germans and the English have always shared a very strong viewpoint together. Is that not true? I'm German and English. We meet up for some good times.
Do you have a whole bunch of cognitive dissonance going on in your head?
Probably.
So yeah, those were some sightings over the years of the ghost ship. But whether or not this was a real ship is not known. Some interpretations of the legends infer that the Flying Dutchman was based on a Dutch ship called De Snooper. Yeah, so like back in the day, there was tons of Dutch ships that were always sailing between the Netherlands and the East Indies, and they were carrying like silks, spices, dyes, other exotic things, stealing them from Asia, basically, and bringing pepper. Them back to Europe.
All the pepper.
Pepper, yeah, we learned that pepper was worth a shitload of money.
Which, like, who even likes pepper?
Compared to salt, it's the lesser one.
It gets caught in my throat, makes me choke, my eyes water.
So, what do you think? Were these sightings real or not? There's actually been, like, scientific explanations that have come forward to try to explain people seeing, like, a ghost ship. So one of these theories is, like, that it was a superior mirage, also called a Fata Morgana. So according to scientists, this is a natural optical phenomenon that occurs after moisture and atmospheric conditions combined with light result in a displaced image of distant objects. And it tricks our eyes into seeing things that don't actually exist.
So that's kind of interesting because you hear about it a lot of the times and it's just a, I don't know if it's the same like classification, but like people seeing a mirage in the desert of like an oasis or like whatever. And I feel like a similar thing could happen on the water because you do have a lot of like water and air and reflection and prismatic mm-hmm. elements that could occur and like very well could cause some optical illusions to be like an actual thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it says this phenomenon can be seen at sea, on land, or even in deserts, where it can involve almost any distant object. So at sea, sometimes it makes a ship that is beyond the limits of the naked eye reflect on the water, making us see like a boat floating above the sea. Science? Maybe it's just science that people see this. Maybe they're seeing like a reflection of their own boat. But how this tale comes back to the bar, this is based on what Emily and I saw in the Amsterdam dungeon. So Emily, you can help me tell this part of the story.
It's the room that I got my butt touched in.
No, it was the room before that, I think.
Oh yeah, it was the room before that.
Because that was the
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this was the one where
over her butt getting
touched. I'm not. This is the one where the air blew on us. And yes. That was extremely unsettling as well.
Yeah. And I think our chair went backwards or something. Yeah,
I knew what was happening there.
I was leaning forward.
And it like poked you in the back. That's why I was leaning forward too. Because there was like something poked you in the back. But that was like obviously a contraption. Whereas the butt touching was not.
Yeah. So yeah, they had this one room that it was dedicated to the Inhet Apian bar, and we were in there, and then like a very angry ghost of Captain Vonderdecken came, and they told us this story where Captain Vonderdecken was in the bar and he got angry, I think, with another man in the tavern because the man
questioned his ability to sail quickly.
And this was like a really big ego thing that was going on back in the day because there was like this huge power struggle for who could sail to like the East Indies the quickest and who could get back the quickest, and like they were really impressed with if people could go really quick and stuff. So Vonderdecken was basically saying that he was going to be the quickest and he was headed out the next day and he was gonna blow everyone's minds when he arrived back really soon. And then there was this guy in the tavern that was like, yo bro, I do not think that you can do that.
Your ship is slow, dude.
You got a slow ship. Just egos, just men's egos. And Vonderdecken got so mad about this that he decided to throw the guy into the fireplace, right there in the tavern.
Which is a logical solution to most of life's problems.
Yeah. And apparently, like, this is a true story. I don't know if the characters that we're talking about were actually true, but I'm sure there were some sailor fights that happened in this bar way back in the day, and I'm sure somebody
got thrown into a fireplace. Yeah.
Yeah, ended up in the fire. So hey, that's another fun thing that you can see when you go visit. So after this, like, really bad night where Vonderdecken threw a guy into the fire, he set sail the next day, but he never made it and was never seen again. And according to legend, he has just been doomed to sail around in his little ghost ship. But yeah, once every 7 years, he can come back. In some stories, find love, and in some, take revenge on anyone drinking at the bar.
He loves taking revenge.
Maybe he does a little bit of both, like
a little bit of Red Light District. In.
Yeah,
they're really close. Yeah,
yeah, they're very, yeah, 5 minute walk. You just go haunt people at the bar a little bit, and then go hit up the Red Light District
for true love. Because that's like a solid where you'll night. Find it. Yeah.
That is where you'll find it.
Go to her.
Go to her, my man. That's what we saw.
That was a phrase I heard uttered in the Red Light District of Amsterdam.
Go to her, brother. She wants you.
Nope.
All right, do you have anything that you want to add to this story today, Emily? About your experience in the Amsterdam dungeon?
It blew a lot of air on the back of my head. And then it poked me in the shoulder.
I was so glad I was leaning forward because I felt my chair, like, move. Tip. Yeah. But I was leaning forward so much that I, like, didn't.
I think we were both leaning forward because, like, I think the first thing that happens is, like, they tell you that, oh, he's there and he's coming, and then you feel like a poke on the back of your shoulder. And I immediately was like, oh, I don't like that. So I shifted forward. And I think you probably did the same thing. And then, yeah.
I was like curling into a little ball as much as I could so that nothing would touch me. But that's the thing. Like, it's not scary. It's just I don't like when things touch me, and I don't want to, like, I don't want something to touch me and me, like, not know about it.
Unexpectedly touching me is like a good way to get yourself hit.
All right, well, that is our little legend for you today. If you are in Amsterdam, go to In Het Apien. Super cool there.
Just make sure it's, like, not the 7 year marker of when.
Yeah, whenever that is.
Yeah.
Don't get haunted, or do get haunted.
If that's your jam.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't but die it- is the.
But it's cool to go there just for, like, the piece of history that the bar is, to just, like, have a drink there and picture, like, all the sailors that were there, like, centuries before.
The monkeys.
Monkeys.
The fleas. Yeah,
and maybe even Captain Vonderdecken. So, all right, that's all we got for you today, and we will be back next time with a new case. And I think we're gonna get more into true crime again next time, because now we've done a couple legends, and I know people like true crime, so that's what we got coming for you next.
Fun times.
Talk to you later. Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of Spook Pod. New ones are out every other Friday. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to chat? Email us at thespookpod@gmail.com or follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit @SpookPod.
For a full list of episodes, more deets, or to see what's coming next, visit our website, spookpod.com.
This has been a presentation of Mostly Awkward Media.
See you next time.